This is Dungeon Not Included, the actual play podcast for the adventurous listener. You are listening to our game of Bulldogs, a sci-fi adventure RPG from Galileo Games. Brennan is your GM and host, Frank plays Sticky, Alex plays Graucom McGruff, and Red plays San Ming. Our theme music is by Seamus Ronan. So, let's recap where we were last week, and who wants to do the recap for us? No one.
Sure. You'll do it?
I will do all right, Frank. From what I recall.
Sure, you go, Frank.
All right. So basically, I was being completely reasonable with my new crew. For some reason, they didn't want to put a bunch of crap in their office, in their rooms. So we started bickering and fighting, and eventually, you know, we were at each other's throats. But before we literally got at each other's throats, which is a big plus for me, before we literally got at each other's throats, we actually agreed to start working together. And really, isn't that the most important part, that we agreed to start work? I mean, we haven't delivered our crap yet, but isn't the most important part that we learned to work together, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, whatever you say, Captain.
I suppose.
Perfect. Well, that takes you to about halfway through your journey of delivery.
Additionally, while they were trying to vent the shit, San Ming was meanwhile trying to adjust the piloting system so that it wasn't holding her hand the entire time.
Space Clippy. I forgot about Space Clippy.
Space Clippy.
I guess so everyone gets their propers in the recap. I begrudgingly, my character is true to form, took a semi-leadership role begrudgingly, but like in the worst way possible. I think Malcolm... was able Graucom was able to use his skill set to figure out a creative solution to a disgusting problem. And San Ming was able to save a lot of people, or potentially able to save a lot of people, because we were being very reckless in how we decided to do this one job. But you managed to make sure that nobody got hurt in our recklessness.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
It does. So you are able to continue your journey to Quiescent without any further incidents, because you managed to vent on a uninhabited moon and on a another more wide open area on a planet, so that you're not in one of the most busy planet delivery, you know, delivery depots in the universe, trying to unleash horrible smells on the local populace. And you are coming into the planet Quiescent. The port you're heading for is called Grove. Quiescent is another agricultural planet. It is one of the breadboxes of the planet Arsabar, which is a gigantic city. And it requires a great deal of material brought in from other places. And so Quiescent is one of the nearby worlds that provides food for all those people that live on Arsabar. As you are coming in, I don't think anybody did any research as to what the planet was or what it was like.
Nope.
Yeah, not at all.
It's a resounding no.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody bothered. That's totally fine. As you were coming in, you start getting radio signals from the local flight control to bring you into their spaceport. As you are coming into land, you can see vast fields of plants being cultivated and orchards and things like that all around. And you come in for a landing in the port city. There are a number of other ships here. They all mostly look like cargo freighters like yourselves, although they're probably not class D like you are, because normally food delivery is not particularly hazardous or dangerous. Do you want to make a quick piloting roll for your landing, or are you just going to let their automated system guide you in?
Like, how reliable is the automated system?
Well, that's a really good question. Your ship has the state-of-the-art newest automated system, but you don't know how tested it is.
Yeah, I'll make a roll then.
Okay. Take the helm.
Yeah. I got rid of Clippy, but it's still doing like, oh, you're a training pilot, I see. Well, let me baby step you through this. So.
Yeah, like the sensors, when something important is humming up, they start to blink red so that they call your attention to them.
God.
History of space flight is very fascinating.
So I rolled a plus 3.
Yeah, that's enough. This is a wide open area. There aren't a lot of things besides like radio towers around that you could run into. So you don't have a very difficult time guiding it in by hand.
All right, cool.
You do have to go through steps you normally skip because the system won't let you at the moment skip every safety step.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm working on that, so.
Yeah, you can work on that when you've landed. Anyway, as you bring your ship in, you bring it into one of the slips that is indicated. The whole thing is just a great big concrete pad where the different ships are landing, and okay. The houses around look like they're made of like woven branches. Some of them seem to be actually still alive. So, like trees that have been woven together into a house.
Interesting.
So you two are telling me that they grow food in crap. That's what this is for?
That's where most vegetables come from, sir.
Like all food?
I mean, not all food, but a lot of the organics that are plant-based, yes. Instead of use that as fertilizer.
All right, so after you arrive, some people from the port heading your way. They look like customs folks.
All right.
The natives of this planet are tall, graceful herbivores with large antlers.
Interesting.
Yes. They move up, and the one in the lead, you know, if you haven't opened the door yet, we'll wait patiently for you to do so.
All right, let's get this over with. Open the door and greet the weirdos that like to grow food in poop.
The person in the lead says, you are a scheduled delivery, it looks like, the white elephant, and you are delivering fertilizer, is that correct?
No, we got a bunch of crap.
Yes, it's fertilizer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, same thing.
He looks a little annoyed at you, Captain. And then turns to talk to San Ming.
My eyes are down here.
Please pardon my crewmate.
Of course. He says, if you don't mind letting me take a look on your ship, I just want to inspect the cargo before you offload.
Sure. And San Ming will lead him onto the ship to take a look at the crates.
Okay. He very officiously goes through and makes sure that the right number of crates are there. He spot checks a couple of them to make sure that they contain what they say they contain.
Mm-hmm.
He looks suspiciously at your cargo bay, looking for any hidden compartments and things like that.
Well, as far as San Ming is aware, there are none, so...
Right. And you guys didn't actually smuggle any contraband this time, so...
No, yeah, not at all.
Yeah,
for once.
You're completely straight up. So they actually are a little surprised and perhaps disappointed that they didn't
have anything. I, too, am a little surprised and perhaps
And they check everything off and they say, okay, you are you're good for delivery. This goes out to warehouse 21B. It's about 20 clicks outside the city, and you can make your delivery there anytime you are ready. One thing to mention is that he looks rather pointedly at any weapons that you are carrying. He says, no firearms are allowed on the planet's surface. You'll have to leave those aboard your ship.
All right. Sun Ming, of course, does not have any guns. She just has a sword.
Graukum's weapons have easily concealed as a trait, so he's totally fine with that.
Right. And he does actually look at your sword, Sun Ming, and say blades under 10 centimeters are permitted, but above must remain on your vessel.
Okay.
Okay. And then they sort of gracefully stride away.
All right. Well, we should probably start getting the cargo to its destination so we can get paid.
Good idea. But first, let's load up on a bunch of blades under 10 centimeters.
Yeah.
Kitchen knives and the like.
Mm-hmm. I'm there with a ruler.
Surprisingly, Sun Ming has no objections.
Graukum disappears the easily to conceal guns, and you would never know that he has them. I don't know whether do we say before how we do this that they are like collapsible components or something that he's able to stick on his body in random places and then reproduce it later.
And you can put them back together later.
Put them back together, yeah, later. So right now it looks like he's got like a belt buckle, and he's got like it's actually part of the handle of one of the guns, and he's got like part like connected to, I don't know, the shoulder. It looks like it's a flashlight, but it's actually the barrel, like built into his armor and stuff like that. So he's okay. Broken down his weapons into concealable pieces that look innocuous on his armor.
That sounds fair, and I doubt anybody's going to notice until you start putting it together that it's actually
exactly.
A gun. So, yeah.
We know perfect. That you're doing this. Not that we would do. I'm going to do anything about it. But I'm just curious if we know that you're armed.
If I can't actually, let's say at this point, since I don't know you guys that well, no, you don't know that I've done this.
Right. You're going to do it in your now very securely locked room.
Yeah, I'll just go to my room, come back out, come back out with a change of clothes and. Get ready to transport.
And you have your armor on and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just because we can't be armed doesn't mean we can't be armored. So.
I also wanted to mention that I actually revised my sword. It's no longer a katana. It's now a Dao sword, which is a Chinese blade.
That's collapsible to 10 inches. Or 10 centimeters.
I did not pick up that perk.
All right, so you're leaving your sword, though.
Yeah, I'll leave my sword behind, but I will stock up on, like, I'm sure there are, like, scalpels in the medical bay and things like that. Small blades in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the first thing is... you're going to need some sort of vehicle to transport all this, other than your ship.
Yeah, the ship's too big, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they don't want you to land it over there. but there are a number of outbuildings and hangars and things around the port where you might be able to find something along those lines. The locals you see are all these antlered people.
Graukum's going to stick his head out and take a look and see what they're using and seeing if there's anything that looks consistent? Like, are they all using, are they like using hover dollies? Do they have trucks? Do they have, or is it all like large animals pulling carts? Like, what are we dealing with here in terms of?
They have hover dollies and light trucks, and you see somebody driving by something that looks like kind of like a airline luggage cart thing,
sure,
right? You know, with a whole bunch of different things stacked on the back and the front, a little engine in the front pulling it. And sure, that seems like most likely what you would want to use.
Grogan's going to try and flag him, this one of these guys, down as they're going by.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sir.
Greetings.
Yes, we're looking for any sort of vehicle we can use to transport some fertilizer from one place to another. Do you happen to have any sort of did you rent that? Is that your own?
Oh, he says, no, this is port property.
Mm-hmm.
You can rent them over there.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. And Grokum takes note of where they were rented. He flicks off a quick salute and a nod, and then heads back inside to inform his colleagues.
Okay.
Now, would renting a truck be, like, part of, like, would we have to pay for it ourselves, basically?
Or you can always expense it to Transgalaxy and see what they do.
Well, I think Sun Ming will try to do that. Although, after her little adventure with calling HR, she's kind of suspicious.
Right. Surprisingly, it is approved.
Oh, excellent. All right, so
as you are loading that one of those little truck carts up, you see another vessel coming into port for a landing.
Okay.
This does not look like a cargo ship very much. Well, it does have some cargo capacity. It's heavily armed and is a little intimidating in its general line and the paint job that somebody's put on it.
Would you look at that? It's beautiful.
I don't disagree, sir. It's quite the lovely ship there.
I don't know.
And it comes in for a landing as you finish loading up your fertilizer.
All right. Well, I don't think we should leave the ship alone entirely. That seems like a good way for it to get stolen, considering how relatively nice it is for a Class D ship. So maybe one of us should stay behind, or...
I think this is a job for Space Clippy, and we should set up some sort of automatic security system on ours, if it has one.
I was thinking about that. Grokum, how hard would it be? And I don't know, maybe you might have to be left behind to work on this if you're interested. But like, security is important. So maybe we could come up with some sort of remote detonation device. So if someone takes this piece of crap, we could blow them out of the skies.
For the whole ship, sir, or for like one of the escape pods, or what?
No, the whole ship. I mean, make it big. If you're going to make an impact, make it big.
I don't think that Transgalaxy would... I think they would not appreciate us blowing up their property and also make us pay for it.
Just if it's going to be stolen.
They will definitely not understand.
I'm sure I could do it. I'm not sure that I'm going to.
Too bad. Well, I guess we could just put up some sort of security system if you want to be pansies about it.
It's a state-of-the-art ship. Why would it not already have some sort of security systems on it? Is there any way we can check to see what this has in terms of security? Because I'm sure that it's not a gigantic, enormous, like... a valuable ship to these people that they would just leave in the hands of Class D people without any sort of way of tracking it, right, if it were to be stolen or...
The ship does have ship's guns and mm-hmm. the equivalent of a low jack, basically.
Sure.
The you could also check and see if you can navigate its systems menus to see what other security features it has. But that would be a systems check.
I can navigate the menus. I have one in systems, so.
You know what? While you guys are playing around with the menu setting, I don't mind going to deliver the crap. So it's up to you. I'll hang tight, or I'll just go ahead while you protect the ship and play with the settings, I guess, because that's what's exciting for you people.
What would be the point of messing with the settings if we were going to be staying behind anyway?
Yeah, you keep because in the future we may not want to stay. I don't know. You're the ones who are doing it.
I will actually compel you guys because I have sitting here on the desktop still the teamwork makes the dream work aspect. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to compel the three of you to all do the delivery together.
God.
So I think that it's in our best interest that we should all work together to get this delivered, get it there and back. Do you really trust the two of, I trust the two of you to deliver it. I'm just not sure about the safety of the two of you on a planet where weapons aren't allowed. We have a lot of valuable stuff here, and I'd rather have the group of us together to be able to at least have the numbers in case there's any sort of attempt on stealing the cargo. I think that if we take 5 minutes to scroll through these, we might be able to find some door locks to keep it so that nothing happens to our ship while we're gone.
Minutes?
I don't know. How long does it take to go through a touchscreen?
Well, I'm making as big a stink as possible, but I am waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Making a big stink is fine.
So I'm going to roll systems.
That's making a big stink is basically all we've done in this game so far.
All right, so what is your systems check?
3.
Excellent. You do find something that's called security mode that you can turn on the ship.
Okay. Yes. Do I know how to turn it back off when I need to?
Oh, yeah. It's quite obvious how to turn it off.
Okay, cool. Is there like
you need the admin password, but you do have that, actually.
Oh, great. That's lovely. And also, I've been like playing around in this system since we got this ship, basically. So.
Yeah. So are you going to flip that on?
Yes, I will flip it on once everybody else is out of the ship and into the truck.
Okay. And then, the ship's computer voice comes over your comm and it says, activating security mode. And you see the ship's guns actually like move slightly. They sort of drew a bead on your vehicle there.
Okay. Yeah, so with that, I think San Ming will move over to the truck and get in. And she's obviously going to drive because nobody else can drive, apparently.
I have a 1 in pilot, but yeah, I don't know if we want to risk that.
Yeah.
Just the dropping off. Our goods.
Yeah. So you can drive out of town. It's a little ways out. It takes you about half an hour to drive there with this load and drop it off at the warehouse. You unload it all into the warehouse and then you can head back towards port.
Okay, cool.
The manifest gets signed by the warehouse supervisor, and you can shoot that up through the space internet to your employer to get paid.
Yeah. So, like, how crappy is our pay?
You get a few hundred credits. It's not terrible. It's honestly better than you would expect. The issue is, it's one of the reasons that people actually do this job. So you all have an extra credit box basically at the moment.
Awesome.
How many did we start with? Because there's not really a place to write that on our sheet.
Yeah, so you can write down one for your credits.
Two now, or?
Two now, yeah. And I think I don't know if you noted, but in Roll20, I also put up your crew pool. That is a pool of fate points that anybody can pull down to use.
And that's, where does everyone put their credits? And do we just create a spot for it in
just
notes?
Just put it in your extras.
I just put it in my notes, yeah.
Yeah.
Notes so two extras. Credits.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! We successfully delivered the poop.
Yes.
Yay! We did now, it!
Is this going to be one of those things where it's like Amazon, where now they've sent once the minute the poop scanned, it's been sent to our headquarters and we'll get back and find our next job waiting for us, or do we have to go find work?
You normally would be going to whatever Transgalaxy office or other offices here, or whatever dispatch office is here on planet, and getting yourself a new job.
Let's do that.
Which is actually great for you, Sticky, because you can pick something more dangerous than delivering poop to a agricultural right. planet.
So I'm casually bringing that up. I'm like, so. Why'd you guys get involved in this line of work? What is it, because of desperation for some lousy credits, or you know, a bloodthirsty desire to wreak vengeance upon the universe? What is it?
You know, I think a really great thing about Class D is that there's a lot of privacy in the process where you don't have to tell anybody. What you don't want to.
Right. Now, privacy because you're a violent maniac looking for bloody revenge about a cosmos that's unfair, or privacy because of some boring thing?
Well, see, I have a little policy called Nunya.
Go on.
As in Nunya business.
Whoa. I spend the rest of the ride to headquarters chuckling. That may be the very first thing I say to whoever's handing out assignments. I'm like, Nunya.
All right. Well, as you are arriving, driving back to the port, you see something a little disturbing, which is there is a ship hovering above the port. It's different than the one that landed that landed while you were packing up, but it is it's got similar markings and it's a lot smaller. It's more like a fighter or assault craft.
This seems a little out of place. Does anyone recognize these ships at all? Is this something that
contacts would help.
Markings. I have contacts. I guess I can roll the one. Anyone have better contacts than me?
I think I might. No. I can't remember. I'm scrolling right now. Yeah, I have a fair. Yeah.
I don't have contacts, but I'm going to roll anyway. So that'll be a plus zero.
Okay, you're going to roll anyway?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and compel you not to roll.
Oh, me not to roll?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because you come from a backwater planet. There's no way you'd know.
Okay.
And what did you get, Frank?
I am looking for the chat and I cannot find it. Oh, there it is.
You got a three.
I got a three.
Okay. So you're not familiar with whatever group this is, but you think this is definitely some sort of outlaw or pirate gang.
Right. So since I don't really recognize them, and they're so heavily well armed, I'm going to I've deduced that these are bad people we should probably stay clear of.
Sure, now, but they do seem to be at the port.
Right.
Where
our ship is. Okay, so here's the deal, folks. Let's go in there, not cause a scene or anything, but you know those 10-inch knives we got? Keep them at the ready.
So may I suggest an alternative to being like very on our guard and heading to the port? Why don't we hang out here for a little while. I mean, we just got some money. There might be something for us to do away from the port. Our ship should be fine. We have amazing security system up and running. Why don't we see if there's anything to do around here and let them do their thing? Hopefully these piratical ships will be out of here as soon as possible.
Well, we waited the first time and an extra ship showed up. There's a good chance, or at least there's a chance, even more ships will show up shortly.
That's fair.
I also, you know, systems can be hacked. They don't necessarily have to actually, if they can get close enough, they could hack into the ship's mainframe and...
Yes, but we've seen that if they try to, they're going to have to deal with Clippy, so I think we'll be fine.
I think we're three strong, capable crewmen who could take on any challengers. And you know what? Maybe we live a little exciting life for a few minutes. I'm sure nothing possible I could go wrong.
What do you think?
I'm confident in this, and so far we've seen no signs of danger, but like it could get worse. So my gut's to move in there, get our another assignment, and get out.
I agree that we should get another assignment. I don't think that things are going to go well, though.
So, San Ming, would you rather just try and get on the ship and get out of here and get to another job from a different outpost on another planet?
Might be smarter.
Yeah, if you're flying without cargo, that will cost you.
Every minute we're on a ship just hoping to find a job, we're not on a job. We may be flying in the opposite direction of a job. I mean... What's the point of having all these weapons and this our backgrounds and I assume the military? Actually, I don't think I ever got your stories.
You're too busy laughing
at your Nunya joke. So you don't get that history.
I'm back on the Nunya. You can take me any way you want.
All right, then. So I guess let's get ourselves a job and then get off planet. I mean, I don't think we have
a choice. When you want Sticky to shut up, just say Nunya.
Yep.
All right. So you're going to drive back into the port then?
I guess we have to, or I guess that's what everyone wants to do. So
I mean, like, we have to get our ship one way or another, which is in the port. So
Okay, as you're driving up, you see at the edge of the port there are a couple of rough-looking people with big rifles standing there on either side of the road, and they sort of watch you as you approach. And then one of them puts his hand up as you're coming up to them.
Are they the same kind of people that greeted us, the same antlered folks?
No, these are off-worlders for sure. You guys didn't do a lot of research into the planet, so you don't know what the locals are like. So
yeah, we also don't. We have no idea whether or not they typically have off-worlders as security. So we're going to just treat this normal. I'll call out and say... Hey, can we get in? Looking for work.
They look at your empty carts in the back, and they say, and then they look at you. Is anybody wearing any identifying marks from the ship, or
definitely wearing your armor? That's very easily identifiable.
You are wearing it.
Yeah,
that matches our ship.
A picture of him on the ship, if I remember correctly, from
there is, but it's a caricature. Yeah.
There's a picture of me on the armor.
But it's like a really... It's like that... I don't know if you know what Rylokuma is, but it's like a really cutesy, like, bear thing. I bet it looks like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And he says, Class D, huh? Look, if you don't want to cause any trouble, we don't want to give you any trouble. So
mumble under my breath, class Nunya. Does it actually work in this context?
Right.
We've never had a day of trouble in our lives.
He says, yeah, I doubt that. But since it looks like you are adhering to local planetary guidelines on armaments, we'll just let you go on through. Head on over to the dispatch office. Get off planet.
Sounds good. Let's get going and get this over with. Like, we want to stay on this shit bowl anyways.
All right.
Okay. So they kind of trail after you as you head over to the hangar where you're dropping the cart off.
Cool. So we'll drop off the cart and will they let us go to the dispatch office for Transgalaxy?
Yeah, you're allowed to go there. There's a small Transgalaxy office here. It's automated.
Okay. So, like, we just, like, punch our crew number and then we get an assignment.
You get a menu of assignments. You can choose which one you want to take.
All right. I assume that Sticky is doing this because he's technically our captain.
Yes, in all fairness, I'm going to guess that Sticky doesn't know any of this information and San Ming actually knows the information to type it in.
San Ming knows the systems part for sure. Like, she definitely knows the ship number and she knows, like, how to print out the assignment.
Sure.
I also like to picture that the computer's too high for Sticky to see, and if he wants to see it, one of us is going to have to pick him up.
Yeah, it does not accommodate people. It's not very well designed. It's basically obviously meant for our Sabarans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, they don't make things accessible for non-Arsabarans these days.
No, apparently not. So, you see there's several listings. One is back to Arsabar. It is a load of what looks like a local crop, but the problem is that it spoils very quickly. And so the mission is timed, and you would need to expend a lot of fuel to do this within the amount of time that's required.
Boring.
Yeah,
I'm actually saying this as I scroll through. These are my character's opinions.
Boring. Right.
Boring.
And there's another one that goes deep into the Templar space, which is one of the galactic empires. They are they're fairly hostile towards Urseminites, actually, in the Templar Empire.
Like this one.
Yeah, they view you as nuisances, basically. So
I get to educate. Good, I like this.
Right.
Show them how what we're really like. Murderous bastards.
There's another one that you see that is heading to a planet called Ensenada, and this one is it's interesting. It's a bunch of what look like cryogenic pods that are all heading to this planet, but that doesn't say what's inside.
Interesting. So I'm going to look at my two crewmen and crewmates and think, I really want to do number two. One is out. I mean, I can't go back where we came from. That's ridiculous. Even though that's 100% part of the job, but no, that's ridiculous. Number two, dream come true, really, just to go out in a blaze of glory to show these people that we're not nuisances. We're, in fact, very, very devastatingly horrible.
Right.
But I don't know if I could trust these two crewmates yet. We still need, like, to cut our teeth, possibly literally, on something. So, icicle things could be anything.
Maybe that's exactly what we should go with.
I think, unless out of character, either of you really want to have an input on this. In character, I don't mind just picking one, but out of character, I don't want
to. I mean, for me, I mean, number three sounds like the most, like, when the minute I heard, like, cryogenics, but we don't know which side it, like, I perked up. Like, for me, that's I would really like.
I actually know what that is, I think. I think I've run that scenario before.
No, I'm not going to do that to you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Sure. Whatever you say. I know you.
All right. Let's get the popsicles. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah. Popsicles.
No. Yeah. The other one is an empire. There's bound to be jobs that'll come up taking you there again sometime. So.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting until we get a few more better guns. And then we could go.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, on the touch screen, I make a little heart around two. I just got to trace out a little heart, like, soon.
But then you do choose the third one.
Yes.
Yeah. Heading to the port of Ensenada.
I've never been to Ensenada. Have either of you ever been there before?
No.
No, because it's a fairly obscure frontier world. Not a lot of people have been there before. So. All right. So, you lock in that job, and as you are turning to head out, you see through the windows there's a little crowd of this gang outside.
Okay.
I want to flip them off so bad, but you know what? I'm going to be professional about this.
Yeah. They seemed okay with us before. I say we just get out there and head to our ship, or we go pick up our cargo at least, and then head to our ship.
All right. When you step outside, one of them stands in the lead, a woman who is probably 6.5 feet tall, green skinned, covered in tattoos and scars. She is one of the Hacragorkin species, which are known for their, shall we say, rough and tumble attitude.
Nice.
And she says, hey, I know my boys said that we weren't going to give you any hassle, but I do have a couple of questions for you before you take off.
Absolutely. How may I help?
She turns and points towards your ship. She says, I want to know about that.
Well, it's the White Elephant. It's our ship, and it's about to be loaded up with some popsicles. So
So she steps forward and puts her arm around you, Graucom.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, it's a beautiful ship.
Yes, yes it is.
I'm thinking of doing a trade.
Four?
I'm very low on the totem pole here.
The captain.
Oh, of course not. No, I'm not the captain. This is the captain. And he points at the teddy bear hiding behind everybody.
No.
So she says, she crouches down in front of you, like towards a little child.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, puts her hands together and she says, so Sticky, you're the captain of this vessel?
That's what it says on my underwear.
She says, I'll take your word for it. This is a really nice ship. I definitely want it. So take a look around the port. Any ship that's not mine already, I'll give to you. And she gestures to the other cargo ships that are all parked here.
How can you give a ship
any ship that isn't yours already, you'll steal for us?
That's exactly it.
Oh,
well,
all right.
I'm taking over this port now, so anything that's here is technically mine.
All right. Well, that.
What?
All right, we'll go shopping.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Listen, I'm not saying we have to do it. I'm just saying let's check it out.
I don't think we should trade our ship. And besides, we obviously have some sort of leverage, If she wanted, if she says that every ship in this port is hers, then why doesn't she just take it?
Maybe we shouldn't be discussing this so openly in front of her.
I was giving you all a break.
Yeah, that thing. She's giving us a break.
And we very much appreciate that.
Look around, totally casual like.
Standing here with a good eight of her crew around you. And they're kind of in a semicircle around you.
Okay. Well, Sun Ming still stands by her point that, like, well, from what she can tell, this woman takes what she wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't she just take the ship? Why does she need our permission?
Less likely to stab her if we are willing to trade. That's not to suggest that you are correct, that she will take it from us by force if she has to, but it's reasonable that she would give us a chance. I also, again, if my species can wink, I will be like, my little beady eye is going to go.
Yeah, you can wink. That's fine.
Yeah, but I don't know. Sun Ming still is still under the assumption that they have something that there is some reason why she can't just take the ship.
I think our security, if it's any other reason, it would be our security protocol. That doesn't mean that just saying no and leaving was an option for us, but I think maybe we can play it a little smarter. Yeah, maybe. I think it's one of the two, or both. It's why fight us if she doesn't have to, and why try to hack the ship if she doesn't have to.
Yeah, I can see that.
So you are strolling around looking at the other ships at this point? Is that what you're going to do?
Graukum's already started walking off, and he's inspecting everything that isn't a gigantic eyesore that's going to get us caught and harmed in the future. So
yeah, I would agree.
Sun Ming is like walking with them, but she's really keeping an eye on. Do we know the Hacker Gorkon woman's name? No.
She did not introduce herself, although you can go ahead and ask.
Sure. Sun Ming will say, I didn't catch your name.
Ah, I'm Captain Berga Bagul.
All right. Captain Berga, nice to meet you. My name is Sun.
She says, look, Class D's practically in the same business that we are, so...
Is that so?
Yeah.
And what is...
You're just a bad trip away from being pirates.
So, the business of pirating is and Class D are basically the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah, she's just keeping an eye in case they try to pull anything, basically.
Right. I am also... with Graukum looking to see. So part of me, I'm playing both sides against the middle. I told Sun Ming that this is just stalling to get out of it.
Right.
If we find a cool ship, I want to trade.
No, these are, they're not cool. I would certainly never say call these cool. They're definitely all freighters.
Yeah, there's not going to be a ship that pirates are going to want to trade for. That's we have similar interests in ships, I think.
The pirate ship looks really cool, but that's not one of the ones that was on offer. So,
okay, I want to use. All right, so I want to confuse the goons that are with us just enough to get a little bit of elbow room so that maybe we can make a plan for how we're going to get out of this. How would I go about doing that? I kind of want to confuse them with like really increasingly more ridiculous trades that I'm pitching to them. What if we wanted like five ships of mediocre value, but we also needed some crew because we have five ships now.
Okay, so what are you doing? A rapport role, I think.
I'm trying to think of a way. I'm really trying to think of a way to like shoehorn larceny into this. Or maybe talking about their scores or something.
You'd have to talk about really actual criminal activity to get larceny into it.
We'd have to. All right. Maybe I could actually try to steal one of their ships.
You could look at their ships and see how hard they'd be to steal with larceny.
All right. That's
totally
cool.
Something you could do.
So, once we're in one of the ships that's up for grabs, I'm going to see what their security system is like and see how hard it would be to take it, or at least maybe make it self-explode or self-destruct or whatever. I'm going to get in there and see how much damage I could do by taking it over.
So you're trying to get into one of their pirate vessels now?
That's right. Pirate vessel or any whatever one, I'm not going to push it too hard. If they have no pirate vessels they want us to even look at, then it's fine if it's a freighter. It's whatever I can get away with taking myself.
Yeah, you can get into a freighter. It's empty. They'll let you take a look around, but they sort of trail around with you.
All right. So while they're like following me and they're watching me kick the tires, I'm going to see if I could commandeer the ship from them without actually telling them that I've done it.
Okay. Do you have systems?
No.
So
larceny is literally.
But larceny is like, larceny is how to steal stuff. So that would be also probably how to hotwire a ship. So.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of. Yeah. Would that work?
Yes. You're not going to get the official security system override. You're basically trying to bypass it. You're hotwiring
it.
Exactly. And in fact, whatever I'm going to do with this ship is going to be really, it's going to void the warranty. So I really don't. I don't need to get into this the right way.
Right. You don't mind breaking it to get in. Right. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So go ahead and make it a larceny check.
Two.
All right. So the difficulty that you're having here is that you're doing this while they're watching you and you didn't want them to sort of figure out what you were doing. So that role is not going to be good enough. They are going to definitely notice. You still will be able to hotwire the ship, but they're going to know that you're doing it. If you want to spend one of your fate points, you're going to need an aspect that will help you with larceny.
I am going to, and I don't, for some reason, my fate points are at zero, or there's nothing in that box. So it may have just been I didn't fill it out.
I think you may not have filled it out. How many stunts do you have?
I have 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so you spent one fate token on that. And the cost for your species was -1. So you have, did you spend any on gear?
I think so. I only have 2 and I think that's what we had, but I just have
you started with 6. You spent 1 to be an Urseminite and you spent 1 on a stunt. And I think you spent 1 on a, an extra point of gear to get that cool armor.
Yeah, so I have 2 things. I have the accurate blaster and the ray-coated Imperial armor.
So you did. Right. So that means you have a total of 3.
Okay. I don't know why.
That's your refresh.
All right, so I will spend 1. I am going to use cute as a button. In this context, I don't know what I'm doing.
Aw.
I just
look at the library. Little guy playing around.
Absolutely disgusting.
There's at least 2 or 3 of these pirates who are guarding us who look at me and think,
aw. Look at him pretending he can pilot a spaceship. All right. So, that's going to do the trick. You spend 1. It brings your roll up to 4, which is enough. And you are able to hotwire this without them realizing that you've done it.
All right.
So you have control of the spaceship now.
Right. Let me know if this is something I could do remotely, or if this is something I'm going to have to do while still on the ship. I am okay with either. So at one point, I would like, if we had, and again, it's not about good control of the ship, but now that I have control of the ship, I'd like it to crash into some other ship
and cause
a lot of distraction. I'd like that to happen.
And when do you want it to do that?
I'm sorry, say that again?
When did you want it to do that?
If I can even get like a little bit of a remote control, like if this were a car, I'd put it in drive, but it's currently, you know, idle. And then as soon as I was outside, I'd start it up so that it just drove into the first thing that was next to it. If I could do that remotely. If not, I don't mind just now that I've got control of the ship, taking a chance on my life.
Okay.
Whichever one is
your roommate's life.
Yeah.
I didn't get on the ship with him.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, she's too busy like watching the guys outside. She hasn't been going on. Sanming hasn't been going on any of the ships.
Okay.
That does seem reasonable because we're not really trying to make this easy for them by having them all guard us at once.
No, so you guys splitting up actually totally makes sense because then they've got a different guys have got a trail after different ones of you. So.
And also, Sun Ming thinks this whole thing is really stupid, so.
That's fine. You see what's going on is that these pirates seem to be shaking down the locals, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've dragged a whole bunch of people out of some of the buildings and are taking things out of the buildings. Anything of value, it looks like. They're definitely bullying these locals who seem to not be fighting back, so.
Yeah. Oh, God. This isn't right. Like, I think Sun Ming's actually gonna, like, go over. What she's gonna do, she's gonna go up to, Captain Berga.
Yeah. And I put her in the characters section if you want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sunming was going to go up to is going to go up to Berga and say and basically just be like, why are you doing this?
Okay, so you're gonna go talk to Berga while Frank is
Sticky is crashing
about to crash on another ship. Yeah. That's fine.
Listeners, please picture this. There's gonna be a really serious conversation, a confrontation to these two characters. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you
meanwhile a ship in the background starts the background to slowly drift?
it like lifts off the ground and just veers straight into another.
I would love it if San Ming was like, don't you care about the people you hurt? And then your ship.
All right. What are you up to, Graucom?
I think Graucom's still on the ground looking at various ships, but not straying too far, probably walking back to Sun Ming with, in his head, nothing's worth the ship that we have here. So.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Getting ready. Yeah, I know. Like, he's getting ready to go up and be like, or he can walk up and he sees the two of them having their confrontation.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to narrate, how you want to do that, but.
Yeah, I'll bring you in. So Sun Ming. What are you saying to Berga?
Well, first thing, Sunming goes up to Berga and literally asks, why are you doing this, right?
She says, I'm sorry, it was just too juicy a target. I mean, a planet full of pacifists?
What could you possibly want from these people? They're farmers.
Yeah, they've got some nice stuff. Good enough, anyway. I was thinking about setting this up as my base.
I mean, there's tons of places in the galaxy where you could set up bases where you wouldn't be bothering native inhabitants of the planet.
And she kind of goes, ha ha ha. Yeah, that's part of the fun.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Don't you see what you want and just take it?
No.
Well, that's why you're never going to be more than Class D.
If being more than Class D means this, then I don't want that.
Okay, so as you're saying that, Graucom has walked up next to you. And okay. The ship in the background has drifted off the ground, drifted slightly to the side, and then accelerated into another nearby ship. With a monumental crash. This one is like a big square cargo ship. You know, it's taller than it is wide, and it actually is starting to tip over. And it's, we'll see how good your role is for this, Frank, to see right. how well you knocked it over.
So what would this be?
Sticky needs to roll piloting, which I don't know that he has.
I don't. Oh, I absolutely do not have that.
That's okay. This is relatively easy because you're not actually trying to pilot it well.
I mean, it would be great if I had piloting. I could probably survive.
Right.
Good luck.
So am I? How do I roll when I don't have anything? Do I just roll?
Slash, yeah. Isn't it just slash roll 4DF?
Yeah.
Oh, zero.
Nice.
Okay. So you got a zero. Your ship smashes into this other one, which is actually much larger than it, and it rocks, but doesn't tip over. And the ship that you're in sort of grinds itself into the ground between this ship and the tarmac, basically, with your cockpit being the thing that is grinding face first into the dirt where you and the various pirates are standing.
All part of my plan.
Well, this is a good place to break.
Tune in this next week.
Sounds good. Oh my gosh.
Can I ask one thing before we end?
Yeah.
Can one of the goons who's guarding us ask me what the hell I think I'm doing?
Yeah, they do in fact ask you that, but by the time that you're ready to, by the time that they kind of figure out that you're doing something weird, I mean, this wasn't very difficult for you to do.
Well, yeah, so. I just need them to scream out the phrase, what do you think you're
what
doing?
What do you think you're doing? Yeah.
Nunya.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. I knew it. Oh my God.
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right. Tune in next week for another thrilling episode of Dungeon Not Included.
That's our adventure for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening to Dungeon Not Included. If you did, please tell a friend, leave us a 5-star review and encouraging comments on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps spread word for new shows like ours. You can follow the latest from the Dungeon Not Included crew on Twitter at DNI Crew, or over at Facebook at Dungeon Not Included, or at our home on the Non-Productive Network at non-productive.com/DNI Crew, where you can find articles, character sheets, and Patreon exclusives, as well as our latest episodes. All of us do this for the love of the game, but every little bit helps us keep making Dungeon Not Included. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.